Merry Christmas. All right. How many of you remember the names of your mom and dad? Most of you. It's easier just to say mom and dad, right? How many of you remember the name of your grandparents? How about your great-grandparents? Great-great-grandparents? One. Two. Pretty good. My family has been able to go back about six greats. Not that I remember them. The Gospel of Matthew today has 42 greats. And the Gospel of Luke goes back even farther. What do you think? Is God just showing off? Yeah. I can trace Jesus' ancestors back farther than you can. Is God a big show off? No, no, he's not, right? Of course not. So why do you think he does this with all of the names of Jesus' ancestors? What's that?
To help us learn about him more.
To help us learn about Jesus a little bit more? Yeah. What else? What do you think? You can just say ditto. I think he's telling us that the names of all of them were important. And that he knows the name of every single person in Jesus' family. Going back to King David, going back to Abraham, going back to Adam and Eve. Do you think that God knows the name of every single person in your ancestry?
No?
How does he know that? I think he does, absolutely. I think not just technically, but totally. Absolutely. He can look at us and say, ah, she pulls her ear just like her great, 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 great grandma did. He has a smile just like his great, great, great grandpa did. Her hair color is just like, her nose is a spitting image of. But here's what's even more important. God doesn't just see our external appearances. He sees our hearts and our souls. Right? He sees our heart and our soul. He knows the strengths and the weaknesses of all of our ancestors and of us. That's the idea. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he loves us more than we love ourselves. If we went through the list of names in the gospel today, we could put together a pretty big list of weaknesses and a much smaller list of strengths. And God knew and loved every single one of them. And every single one of them, in some way, prepared the way for Jesus. God puts that kind of love and care into everything that he does. Now, you and I are not quite on the same level as Jesus, right? But he puts that kind of love and care into each and every one of us, too. He knows you 42 generations back, and 142 generations back, and each one by name. And sometimes in the Bible, God changes someone's name. He changed Abram to Abraham. He changed Sarai to Sarah. He changed Jacob to Israel. It's a reminder that God has a name for all of us. God's name for us is really important. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get to heaven and to hear God's name for me. Maybe it'll be something like one who preaches too long. Hopefully not. In the gospel, God tells Joseph what to name his child from the very beginning, so he doesn't have to change it later on. What's the name that God gives his child?
Jesus.
Hopefully you all knew that, right? In the Hebrew, or Jewish language, Jesus would be pronounced Yeshua. Can you say that name?
Yeshua.
Very good. Can you all say that name?
Yeshua.
That was about as good as the kids did. It's a slightly different version of Yoshua, which we say Joshua. And the name means God saves. In the Old Testament, Joshua led the people of Israel into the Promised Land. And it was a constant reminder that it wasn't Joshua doing any saving, but God and God alone doing the saving. His own name was a constant reminder that it wasn't Joshua, but it was God doing the saving. Now that's why it's kind of shocking in the gospel today, tonight, when the angel appears to Joseph and says, Mary, your wife will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, right? Because he will save his people. Did you catch that? The angel didn't say, name him Jesus as a reminder that God will save, but name him Jesus because he will save. That means that Jesus is God. And what will he save us from? Do you remember? What's he going to save us from? From our sins, right? Save us from our sins. Not from skinned up knees? Not from a bump on the head? How about a bloody nose? No. Save us from our sins. Does that mean he keeps us from committing sins? No. He leaves us free, right? He leaves us free to sin. But as soon as we turn to him, he can and will save us. That's what it means to have a Savior named Jesus. There's a beautiful tradition in the church to pray using the name Jesus, simply by slowly and deliberately repeating the name of Jesus over and over again. He makes us aware, doing that makes us aware of his presence, which is beautiful. But it's also a plea. When we say Jesus' name, we're saying, God, save us. Save us from our sins. God, save us. So let his name fill your entire being. That's what Mary did. She was so filled with the name of Jesus that she was completely saved from sin. It's a simple and wonderful way to pray. So get comfortable. Get comfortable. Take a deep breath. Relax. Smile. Good. Now close your eyes. And together, with every breath you take, quietly breathe the name of Jesus. You could even say it in the Hebrew form of his name if you wanted. Yeshua. 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 Now please, please, always be reverent and respectful with that name. Deal?
Deal.
All right. Now I want to say a final word to everyone here tonight. Christmas is also about hope. It's not wishful thinking, but theological hope. A hope that's rooted in the divine. So that means that no matter how good or bad the music is, or no matter how good or bad the preaching is, no matter how good or bad the company is, we do not surrender our hope because it's not rooted in any of those earthly realities. This child was born in a town named Bethlehem, right? Bethlehem. That means house of bread. Bethlehem, house of bread. This child was laid in a manger from which animals are fed. This child himself said, I am the bread of life. Christ is real, not just in history, but here in this church. Here where the body of Christ gathers. Here where the light is reborn on the altar. Where the bread becomes life-giving and the wine is grace-poured. Here where hope is nourished. Where no matter how many times we feel defeated by the darkness, we are not overcome. Because Christ is real. And Christ is real here. Welcome to the only place in town where the Eucharist is found. Welcome to Christmas. Welcome home. So many of you know, I always give homework at the end of a homily. Yeah.
I thought that was for school.
It's not just for school. So here's your homework from this Mass. Your homework is to pray with the name of Jesus. Jesus. Remembering that he knows you 1,000 generations back, and that he can, and that he alone saves you from your sins. You can go back to your seats.